Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So far, God's word. And have your Bibles there with you. We're going to look at a number of passages this evening as well. Shortly, I'll pray, but how are we going in terms of temperature? Getting a little bit warm? No? Good? Good? A little bit warm on some sides, not on others? Marco's making the move. He's voting with his feet. You know, turn it off. Let's pray. Gracious, glorious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we've been reminded again this evening as we've just read these words, how we came into being, how you, the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the creator of every single thing on heaven and earth, created us, that you made us special, that you created us in a way that we'll see and know and learn about and be reminded about this evening as well. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you as we shall see that even though we fell, you remained faithful to us, that you provided us with a Saviour. We thank you for that. And Lord, as we consider some of the truths of your word this evening, we pray that those truths may encourage us first of all, but also encourage us to take a message to hope to a world that is no longer good, to a world that is so full of bad. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Well, a couple of years ago, Hanukkah and I had the opportunity to be camp parents at a youth camp. Nick, you did one a couple of years ago, didn't you? It's good fun. It's lots of fun. If you ever get the opportunity, do it. To be parents for a camp. But as we went to this youth camp, it was like we were walking into a room where we'd met a whole lot of people before. We saw all these young faces that looked really, really familiar to us. Young people that we hadn't met, actually. But as we looked there, we could identify the families that these kids came from. Well, they have to be posthumous. For those of you who don't know who the posthumous are, they are one of the biggest families in the Reformed denomination, and they have a very, distinct facial profiles that you see. That must be posthumous. In a good way, Harmony. In a good way. And even more so, as we got to know some of these kids, especially the naughty ones, it's like, what's their surname? Okay. I know who their parents were. And yes, the apple doesn't fall that far from the tree. I'm sure none of the men who were here were ever in that situation. Peter, you weren't one of those? No, I'm sure not. Not that Albert's boy, no? Good to hear. But there's an image that we carry from our parents. There's a likeness. There's mannerisms that we have. There's things that we carry. That as people meet us, they say, well, you must be a child of so-and-so. And it's the same when it comes to God. When it comes to God's image, in some ways, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. We read this evening, and we're going to examine that this evening, that we were created in the image of God. that we were created in the image of God, just give you a moment, and myself. We're created in the image of God. And because of that, we carry features of the God who created us. So this evening, we're going to see that we were created and are being recreated to be good. It's there in the bulletin there, if you have a copy of the bulletin. Otherwise, we were created and being recreated to be good. We're going to start here in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at the image, how God made us, and then we're going to travel a little bit further afield as we see what happened to the good that we were created in. So in verse 26, God says this, "Then God said, let us make man." And here we have a little hint of the doctrine of the Trinity. God is speaking to himself here. Let us make man. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now those two phrases are really phrases packed on top of each other. Made in our image, made in our likeness. They say the same thing. And what did God do? God gave man and woman, male and female together, he gave them a job. The job was, boys and girls, to look after the earth and to have kids, to have children. Simple, really, isn't it? Look after the earth, be fruitful and multiply. What could go wrong? Well, as you shall see, and as we know from the rest of the Bible, lots did go wrong. But it's the image of God that we want to think about, what that means, and that's what our catechism speaks about as well. And I'll just pull it up here. God created man good and in his own image, as we read here. And so the question is, what is the image of God? And here we're going to get just a little bit technical. Just a little bit technical, but bear with me. Hopefully it'll help you understand this doctrine and this truth. And also as we think about further down the track, this evening, what the implications were, as you have this in your mind, it'll help you as well. So when we speak about the image of God, we speak about two parts or two types of the image. And I've written them up here on the board for you. And this is fine handwriting, folks. I have never written this neat in my life. So admire that first of all. But we talk about the image of God in two ways. The first of all is the narrow image of God. We talk about how God made us good. We read about that in Genesis, didn't we, boys and girls? We also talk about how God made us righteous. Turn with me to Ephesians 4, verse 24. Page 978, if you're following in the New Bibles. Keep your hand there in Genesis. Ephesians 4, verse 24. The Apostle Paul there is speaking about the new life, and he says there in Ephesians 4, verse 24, to put on the new self. Let's jump back to 23. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's where that idea of the image of God comes, righteousness and holiness. And then Colossians 3, verse 10, just a few pages over, talking about the old self and the new self. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So we can add to there as well as goodness, righteousness, holiness. We can also add perfect knowledge of God. And when Adam and Eve were created, they had that perfectly. They were perfectly good. They were perfectly righteous. They were perfectly holy. That's the narrow image of God when we speak about the image of God. But we also speak about a wider image. And that's here on the side there. You can see on the side here. A wider image. And we think that we reflect who God is as well. We are spiritual beings. That means, boys and girls, we have a soul. We are rational beings. Can anyone tell me what it means to be rational? What does it mean to be rational?
Logical thinking.
We're able to think. We can process. We have a higher level of reasoning. We can reason. Moral. What does it mean to be moral? We've got a value system. We know right, we know wrong. And we were also created immortal, conditionally immortal.
There was a condition that came to it. As long as we obeyed, Adam and Eve obeyed God perfectly, they would live forever. They would live forever. So narrow image, wide image. Got it? Got it in your heads? Nod? Yes? Okay. We'll come back to that in a second. Park that thought.
In this, we were created. In this, we were good. What did God say about creation, boys and girls? He said, what was the phrase that he said every after every day? God saw what he made and it was good. That's right, it was good. But what did God say after he made Adam and Eve? Did he say it was good? He said it was very good. It was very good. So mankind, man and woman, were lifted up a bit higher than all the animals. They were created good. Point number one. So God created man and Adam and Eve good, and they lived happily ever after. Didn't they, boys and girls? Did Adam and Eve live? No, I see a few shakes there. No? What happened? What happened? Sin happened. Specifically, what happened in Genesis chapter 3? Adam and Eve did what, boys and girls? They ate. They ate something.
The fruit.
They ate the forbidden fruit. That's right. They ate the forbidden fruit. And because of that, everything went bad. And that's our second point this evening. Created good, but secondly, unable to do good. Because of the fall, our catechism says, because of the fall and disobedience of our first parents, our nature has been poisoned. Because of that, because of the sin, because they disobeyed God, Adam and Eve could no longer do good. They could only do bad. And they passed that on to their children. And their children passed it on to their children. And their children passed it on to their children. And so on till your parents passed it on to you. Psalm 51 verse 5. In Psalm 51, David is reflecting on his sin. And he says this. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. I was brought forth in sin. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Because of that choice that Adam and Eve made in those days, we have become bad. Because of the fall, Paul can say in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, quoting Psalm 14, there is no one righteous, there is no one who does good, not even one. But does that mean that we're totally bad? That we're totally bad? Well, yes, according to our catechism. We're unable to do any good, but also to a certain extent, no. Even in our sin, God restrains us and restrains others in the world so that things aren't as bad as they could be. But yet it does mean that every single thing that we do is tainted with sin. Every single cell in your body, boys and girls, every single part of your body, your soul, your mind, every single part of us is corrupted, is ruined by sin. You can't have part of you that's good and part of you that's bad. No, every single part of us is tainted by sin. What do you think happens, boys and girls, if you pour some ink into a glass of water? Has anyone tried that for a science experiment? No? Do you think that the ink sits at the top of the water and it just sits there like oil does? Doesn't happen, does it? You can go home and try that under the supervision of your parents. Pour some ink into a glass of water. What happens? Parents, what happens? It dissipates. Big word. Dissipates. It goes through the entire glass. So that as you look at the glass after you put ink in it, the whole glass is the same colour as ink. And that's like sin. Every single area of our life is tainted by sin. And more than that, we're helpless in this state. We can't get ourselves out of it. As we read the other day, as we looked last week, we are miserable. Without help, without God's rescue, we are stuck there. We can't get ourselves out of our misery. And in and of ourselves, if we're honest, without the work of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't care. We don't even see that there's a problem. But there is a problem because we're on a collision course with God, aren't we? So when Adam and Eve sinned, the image of God in them was also corrupted. But it wasn't totally gone. Genesis 9 verse 6, you don't need to turn there, but Genesis 9 verse 6 says this. God is speaking to mankind after the flood, and he says this. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. Did you hear that? God made man in his own image. Even after the fall, even after the corruption, there was an aspect that God's image still remains in us. It's tainted, but it still exists. So if God's image still exists, which part of the image that I was speaking about before do you think, boys and girls, still remains? Do we keep the narrow image of God? Are we still good? We're not good, are we? Are we still righteous without God? No. Are we still holy with God without God? As part of the fall? No. But are we still spiritual beings? Yes. Are we still rational? Yes, most of the time. Good call, most of the time. Are we still moral beings? Yes, we sin, but we still know right from wrong, don't we? Are we immortal? No. Not unless something else happens. So there is an extent that we still bear the image of God, and as we talk about implications later on, we're going to see that that's important. We still, every single one of us, whether we believe in God or not, still carry part, still reflect part of who God is. It's tainted, it's corrupted, but it still exists. But how can we get back to here? How can we get back to having the narrow image of God again? Well, that's our third point this evening, and our catechism tells us how, what that is and how we get there. It says there in question and answer 8, but are we so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and inclined toward evil? Yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. And that's our third point this evening. Recreated to be good. When Adam and Eve were created, they had the power to do good. They also had the power to do bad. When they fell, they lost the power to do good. They could no longer do any good. And they were no longer righteous or holy. But Christ works in us. Christ works in us through the Holy Spirit. And because of that, when Jesus Christ works in our heart through the work of the Holy Spirit, we're able to do good. There's a change in us. And the Holy Spirit starts to work in us, recreating us, making us a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Turn there with me now. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Created good, turned bad, unable to do good, and now recreated. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, page 966. We read here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. So there's a sense already that if we're in Jesus Christ, we are a new creation. And in fact, as God looks at us through the work of Jesus Christ, he sees us as perfectly good, perfectly righteous, perfectly holy. Because of Christ's righteousness, because of Christ's holiness and his goodness, he sees us as perfect. But yet we're not there, are we? So there's also a sense that there's a process that's happening, a process that's going on, making us more like the image that God sees us in. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you don't need to turn there, I'm just going to read a small passage there. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says this. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the God, are being transformed into the same image, the image of Jesus Christ, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's at work in us, transforming us. If you ever had the privilege to see someone working on a stone statue, they start with this block of stone and slowly, patiently, they chip away bits and pieces from that stone until it becomes this wonderful masterpiece. That's us, brothers and sisters. That's us, God working away at us through his Holy Spirit, chipping away those rough edges, forming us, molding us to look more and more like Jesus Christ. God's doing that. But it also gets better. We started this evening in Genesis chapter 1. We saw that God made Adam and Eve good, but able to do bad. When the Holy Spirit works on us, and when God has finished with us and perfected us, we're going to be one step better than Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, as I said, were able to do good, but they were also able to do bad. But Revelation 21 teaches us that when God returns, when Christ returns, we will no longer be able to do anything bad. Think about that, boys and girls. When Jesus returns, you'll never, ever be able to do anything naughty again. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty exciting, isn't it? That's what's coming. But so what? So what? We've learned about the image of God, a narrow image, a wider image. We've learned about what happened. We were created good. We were unable to do good. We were recreated to be good. So what? What difference should this make? What difference does this make in our lives? Well, hopefully you've picked up on a few things this evening. But let's, as we finish off this evening in our final point, so what? Let's think about some of the implications of unpacking this doctrine for life. First of all, if we're in Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have a master craftsman who's chipping away at us through the work of the Holy Spirit, molding us, shaping us. That's encouraging. What's even more encouraging is that unlike some of us who are not very good handymen, God never, ever leaves a job unfinished. He's always going to finish the good work that he's begun in us. That's encouraging. That gives us hope. That he's not going to leave us just able to do some good. He's going to finish us so that we'll be perfect, able only to do good. That's reassuring to know when you're struggling with a sin or you're struggling to change something in your life. You will get there eternally in the end. This doctrine, this what we've looked at this evening as well, and the image of God, also gives us an answer to people who ask the question, what's wrong with this world? What's wrong with this world? What went wrong with this world? And the answer to that, what's wrong with this world? Us. Human beings. We live in a broken world because of a choice that a husband and wife made over 6,000 years ago, and we're still living day in, day out with those implications. Why is there evil in this world? Why can one man go and massacre 51 people? 52 people, I think it is now, isn't it? 52 people? Because of evil, because of sin that is in this world. We have the answer of hope to people who ask that question as well. Because the doctrine, the idea of the image of God in all of us, in every single being, human being, should drive us in our evangelism as well. Because the image of God is in every single person. We are no different to people who may not believe in God. In fact, we share the bond with them that we are all made in God's image, in God's likeness. Our fellow human beings, as people like to say. We should show care. We should be worried about their destination, where they are going, unless God is working in their hearts. We also live with the reassurance of the Holy Spirit changing us, recreating us, day in, day out. Who here is perfect? Put up your hand. Who here is perfect? No one? No takers? No one is perfect, are they? No. And that's okay, because we know that God is making us perfect and that we're not there yet. Now, that's not an excuse to sin, but it's also a reassurance that God is being patient with us, that we're going through a process. And it also means, and it should remind us too, because we're not perfect, because we're being recreated, that we should be patient with others as well, patient with our brothers and sisters. We tend to forget that when we criticize others. They're still struggling with that sin. Oh, I thought they would have learned that by now. Yet we fail to put the mirror at ourselves and realize that God is working in us as well. And if we're honest about how long it takes us to deal with some of our struggles, maybe we should turn the mirror at ourselves and say, well, why are we still struggling? The reason we're struggling is because we're not there yet, and neither are others. So we can be patient with each other. We should be patient with each other. But we can also reassure each other when we're struggling that we will get there. We are getting there. And that we have a God who keeps every single one of his promises to us. We were created good. Adam and Eve were created good, but that went bad. But we can give thanks that God kept his promise to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden while they were still there. The promise of a Savior. We can give thanks to Jesus Christ that it wasn't the end of the story when Adam and Eve fell into their sin. That the Heidelberg Catechism doesn't finish at man's misery, but it leads on to how we are saved, to God's deliverance of us. We can give thanks that every single one of us who is in Jesus Christ is being recreated to perfection. Don't we long for that day, brothers and sisters? That day when we will be perfect, when we will be able to look at each other and say, very, very good, because we reflect the good, the very good of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we say, and pray now. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we've dealt with a number of concepts this evening from the Catechism, from your word. They've talked to us about how we got into the state that we were. Lord, we've been reminded that you created us, you made Adam and Eve, they made mankind good, but it all went so wrong. We thank you that even that, especially that, was in your plan as well. We thank you that it was not the end of the story. That because of the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, we are being recreated. We are being molded and shaped to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, that process can sometimes be painful. It can sometimes be incredibly frustrating. Give us patience. Help us to trust and rest in you, the master sculptor, the master potter, Lord, as you mold us. May the fact that you are molding us, every one of us, help us to be patient with each other as that process goes on. Lord, we thank you that you've given us in your word a opening, a way for us to be able to explain to other people about why things are so bad. And not only that, also, Lord, to teach them about the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Lord, give us opportunities to do that, to tell people about the answer to the darkness, to the evil in this world. Lord, we pray that as we think about the fact that every single person that's walking on this earth is made in the image of God, may that also drive our care for them, our desire to see them come to know you as well. Give us a heart for the lost, we pray. But we do thank you, Heavenly Father, and we look forward to the time when there will be no more sorrows, no more sin, no more pain, and no more struggles. That we will simply be able to enjoy you forever. We will be able to look around as we live in the new heavens and the new earth and say, not only is it good, but it is perfect. It is very, very, very good. We long for that day. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.